Go and have a seat. I've already had you say how you're doing this morning. Are you glad to be here? So on and so forth. So I grew up kind of in, well, no, as a kid, I was in Sunday school. We went to church. And how many of y'all know that when you have a realization of who you are, what Christ did for you, you gotta like grab onto that, right? So when I was growing up, we sang Father Abraham, right? Father Abraham had many sons, right? I have one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right? But we just sang it because it was cool. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know that I was Abraham's son. How'd I end up Abraham's son? I'm not Jewish. Actually, at that point, Abraham wasn't Jewish, right? If you think about it, he wasn't part of the Israelites. We're talking before, right? Y'all know that, right? So Abraham didn't even know he was Jewish. Goodness gracious me. Y'all understand this? That God, when Jesus died on the cross, when he took those stripes upon him, when he made atonement for our sins, he said, you're part of the family now. And then we get the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, how many of y'all know that the blessing of Abraham, Abraham was blessed, his tent was multiplied, it was expanded. That's the blessing of Abraham. There's too many people in the church today that want to tell you that all that stuff is dead, that miracles are dead, and that none of that is all for the previous church. That was for the Jews before Jesus. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture tells me that I have the blessings of Abraham. Scripture tells me I was grafted in. Scripture tells me that I can take part in my tent expanding. I can take part in the Psalms where it says sickness is cast out from me. Glory to God. I'm a son of Abraham because I am a son of God. God made a difference. That ain't even what I'm teaching on today. But there's something about it when you get to understanding, when you have a firm, and this is what I'm teaching on, when you have a firm foundation on who you are in Christ, when you have that foundation laid out, you get to know, man, I am a son. I am grafted into the family. God has done something for me. Yeah, glory to God. Glory to God. I knew I was preaching this week. Pastor Rick gave me plenty of time to know. Thank God for that. Kind of, because, you know, when you have time to study for preaching, you do, like, especially for a month, you got like 15, 20 sermons lined up, because sometimes life gets in there and the last thing you want to do as a preacher is to preach life.
Yeah.
This week we have an awesome opportunity to preach life, but we're not going to do that. We're going to preach what God asked me to preach.
Amen.
Last week, Pastor Ricky said that, I forget what it was, but it was about foundation.
Yes. Yes.
And not letting somebody dig up your foundation, right? If y'all remember, those of you that were here on Sunday. And so we have to stand strong in our foundation. A foundation is the basis or ground or groundwork or anything that is on which anything else stands and by which it is supported. The foundation of the church, the foundation of Christianity, is none other than Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, stand it up. There we go. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church as a whole. Amen. It doesn't matter where you're going. I don't care if you have a Baptist background, a Methodist background, an anyist background, or you're crazy like us Pentecostals. As long as Jesus is the foundation of the teachings of that church, You are my brother, you are my sister, you are my friend, and we are going to be with each other in heaven one day. Okay? That being said, this is a four-square church. Four-square is rooted in Pentecostalism. So it is nothing for us to get down with the spiritual language,
amen,
pray in tongues, speak in tongues. We may dance. We may sing.
Amen.
There have been people known to tumble.
Amen.
But the foundation is Christ.
Amen.
That's the thing, is that Christ is our foundation.
Yes.
It does, and so when somebody comes at me and goes, you know, all that tongue talk and stuff, that went away. Christ is my foundation.
That's right.
I'm going to heaven because Christ is my foundation.
That's right.
But Scripture says that the tongues will cease when perfection comes, and perfection has not come.
Amen.
Anybody who tells me that, I'm like, perfection comes. When perfection comes, we'll see the lion lay down with the lamb.
Yeah.
And the lamb will live.
Amen.
And here's the thing. Have you put a lamb with a lion? Perfection has not come.
Amen.
So we will continue here at Spirit Life Church.
Amen.
And in the Four Square Church as a whole, speaking in tongues.
Yes.
We will continue seeing the gifts.
Amen.
And the operation of the Holy Spirit here at Spirit Life Church.
Yes.
And in the Four Square Church as a whole, and any of them other Pentecostal churches.
Yep.
Some of you have, there are new faces here. Welcome.
Amen.
We're about to learn you. Don't be afraid. Just go with the flow. Roller coasters are scary the first time you get on them. But then you just can't stop. So bear with us, if you would. How do we know that Foursquare is founded in the gospel of Jesus Christ and that Jesus is the foundation? It's in the name.
Amen.
Foursquare. Foursquare means Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Jesus, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. That's why we get buck wild. Jesus, our healer. And Jesus, our soon coming King. In every single Four Square church, you will find Hebrews 13:8, which says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, yesterday, when he was on earth and he was healing people, he does that today.
Amen.
Yesterday, when Jesus was casting demons out, is the same as today. And it's the same as tomorrow and on into forever. Jesus is still healing people today, the same he was when he was home. Or here on earth. He's at home. He's at the right hand of God. He has said, hey, y'all believe, go out, lay your hands on people, lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. He did say that, right? Am I wrong? No. The foundation of this church is Jesus Christ. If you can get that, if Jesus is your foundation, nothing can shake you. It doesn't matter if the maybe somebody you really respect gets on the YouTube and tells you how those that healing's for another time. It was for the establishment of the church. I got to tell you, this day and age, the church sure needs some establishing.
Amen.
We're not laying a new foundation.
Come on,
we're just doing what God told us to do.
That's right.
So when I say that I believe in healing, and I tell you that I walked on a cane through those doors the first time I came here, I don't have a cane.
That's right.
Amen.
Like Pinocchio would say, ain't no strings on me. I have experienced and walked through many of the things that people will have you doubt about what God is.
Yeah.
It's not about this church.
No.
It's not about that church.
Amen.
It's not about any church. It's about the church and the foundation, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Because Jesus is always the same. He never changed his mind about anything. Would you believe that God, when you were born, y'all, not God was born, God wasn't born, but when you were born, God put a gift and a call on your life? Hey, Jake, would you hit the lights, please, sir?
Amen.
the lights, bring them back up, or bring them all the way up. God put a gift and a calling on your life. Scripture says that it's irrevocable. So no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, how far back you've slid in, your gift and your calling is still active today. I can tell you this because I get to work every once in a while in the fivefold ministry. And I am undeserving of it by any stretch of the imagination. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, whatever. But God put a gift and a calling on my life. And with the firm foundation that I have in Christ, I have been able to walk in that calling despite everything I've done to the opposite. Spirit Life is a four-square church. Obviously, Jesus is our foundation. We're going to stay there in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go all the way up to, it's still in chapter 3, but I'm going to start in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as the carnal, as the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. It will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. The reason God brought this scripture out to me is there's a lot of envy and strife inside of the church. Yeah. Not necessarily this church, but the church as a whole. Yeah. What I was talking to just a minute ago. So many people, we are a word of faith church.
Yes.
Okay? We believe that the words we speak have power.
Yes.
And they have power to bring life. Yes. They have power to bring death. We are Word of Faith Church, okay? But so many people out there would have you believe that the Word of Faith movement is heresy. That we've all made ourselves little gods, and we haven't. Our foundation is still Jesus. Our foundation is still Jesus. We don't believe that our words work because we're God. We believe that our words work because God pointed it out that your words have power.
Yes.
Life and death is in the power of the
tongue.
Exactly. So if life and death are in the power of the tongue, we're just believing what God said. It says if you tell this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. That and you believe it in your heart, not doubting, it'll sprout legs, walk off, and jump into the ocean for you. Yeah, that's scriptural. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. It's not just fun to say. It is fun to say. It's fun to think of. Like, you walk up to a mountain, get out of here, right? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. My bad. But that's what God's saying. And some of you would be like, well, that's just impossible. A mountain to move for the word that you said? Not for you. Because it does seem impossible. It's okay. It does seem impossible. But God said, if I would ask, or if I would tell it, not ask, if I would tell it, get out of here, it would go. And it doesn't even have a choice. Some of y'all will go home. You will find a mountain. It may be an anthill. And you will tell it to leave. And you won't believe it. And this is the problem. Because the thing about the word of faith is you have to believe it. So many people have come to a word of faith church and they have tithed, they have given their offerings, and they have spoken in faith. If it's God's will. That, oh, just so you know, if it be thy will, God, that's a parachute. For people that they don't necessarily have the faith to get there. And this isn't condemnation. Guys, I have said those words myself. Amen. There are things that I have proclaimed and I have asked God for, and the second adversity comes, I have goofed up. Amen. I guess it's never going to happen. I had an opportunity this weekend to fail, or this week, fail miserably at faith. I had been declaring something that I have not experienced yet, and at work, and I was so close. I could taste it. I could see it. I knew it was happening. And then I got news that it wasn't going to happen, right? And I was broken. I was sad. I was hurt. But the words of my mouth, God let me keep them in check because of a firm foundation. And despite all the anger built up inside of me, I did vent to my wife for a moment, but I didn't get out of faith. I kept declaring, well, if it's not this, it's got to be another.
Praise God.
And I even asked God, I'm God, it's not you. You don't fail.
Amen.
So it's me. Where did I miss it?
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
But we never took our eyes off of what was coming.
That's right.
Heather prayed about it. You can pray. God, your word says that this is going to happen. And I'm believing it still. So make it happen. Let's go. Let's get it done. And by Friday, because I go on vacation. I'm on vacation. Yes.
Sweet.
So Friday was my last day to do this. It's money, guys. I was believing for a certain amount of money to come in. I'm a commission salesperson. But Friday was my last day of work. So if I didn't have it on Friday, too bad. Well, I got it on Friday. It didn't come the way I thought it would. It came a different way, but I got it. Thank God. The devil knew that I was preaching on the foundation and that I was going to talk about the Word of Faith movement. He knew what God had put on my heart last week. He said, watch, right at the end, I'm going to take the rug out from underneath him. He's going to mess it up on Sunday. Nah.
But God.
But God. But God. God had another thing planned. My God, he already knew that what happened was going to happen, and he already had put in work the angels to go out and get me the other one, so I'm good to go.
Amen.
That's good. Yep. Back to notes. The Word of Faith movement is based, guess what? What is its foundation? The Word of God. It is. It's funny. It's like you already knew. The Word of Faith movement's foundation is the Word of God. And who is the Word of God? Jesus. So we can still say that the Word of Faith movement is based and founded in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How do we know? One of my favorite scriptures in the entirety of Scripture is John 1. Reason being is because I have always enjoyed a good long conversation with Jehovah's Witnesses. Because they don't believe in the deity of Christ. Guess what? Their foundation is not in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sidebar. But I'm explaining.
Right.
But John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God.
Yes.
And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. And down in 14, same chapter, that's chapter 1, just so you know. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, a couple things. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is God. Everything that was created through the Word of God. So, if the Scripture says that everything was created through the Word of God, Jesus could not have been created.
That's right.
Do you guys get that?
Yeah.
This is the end of that sidebar about people that doubt the deity of Christ.
Yeah.
He is not a created being.
Amen.
A lot of people are like, well, God, he's just the first of creation. No, that's not what Scripture says.
Amen.
Scripture said that all the way back in the beginning, before the beginning, you know, if there's a timeline, if you have a timeline, beginning, end, he was before the beginning.
Yeah.
Just like where God is, before the beginning, Jesus was there before the beginning. And nothing that was created in heaven or on earth was ever created without him, because all things on heaven and earth were created by him and through him. There you go. That's a little bit of theology for you. Who'd have known we were going to do that today? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is fun in the Passion, not the Passion, but the Message Bible, because it says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood.
Amen.
That's how we knew you were going to be my friend.
Amen.
Like where I grew up, if you grew into the neighborhood, you had a little bit of trouble in the beginning. Jesus did too. Then, when we accepted you, you get to come to the cookout. It's
Amen.
Good.
Yeah.
We're having a block party. Everybody's invited. Not that guy. You've been here long enough. Come on in.
Yeah.
Right? So, the Word of Faith movement is based in Scripture and is based with a foundation of Jesus Christ. It is, he is the foundation of everything Spirit Life Church believes and does. Every single thing. We declare things here at Spirit Life Church. We believe the things we declare here at Spirit Life Church. And we want you, all my new faces, all you old faces like Earl. I'm just joking, Earl. Anytime I get to get a dig on Earl, I love it. He'll talk back, I'm sure. But we want not only do we want you declaring things and believing God, not just for the mundane, the amazing. The abundant.
Yes.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
And then we want to be able to come alongside of you and believe with you for those things.
Yeah,
because there is nothing cooler than watching just the blessings pour out on somebody.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, we did not have this big of a crowd on Wednesday night. But Wednesday night, we got to hear some awesome testimonies about discount medicine, about houses without down payments, about cars, that the exact car, exactly what they wanted, when they wanted it.
Amen.
Not just what's needed. Well, God will cover your needs, but he wants to cover your wants, desires of your heart, right? See, and I said this on Wednesday night. The Bible, the canon, what is written, what is the Word of God, God inspired, where God said, hey, write this down.
Yeah.
That's closed.
Yeah, amen.
But that does not mean that we're not still living the Acts of the Apostles.
Right.
So every time a testimony is given, there are angels in heaven rejoicing.
Yeah.
Did you see what they did there? Jesus is excited. He moved that mountain
yes.
with his faith.
Yeah.
God loves that.
Yes, he does.
God, he delights. He takes yes. pleasure in your prosperity.
Yes.
Don't let somebody tell you ain't meant to be prosperous.
Yeah.
Don't let somebody talk you into being broke
yeah.
because you're being broke for God.
Yeah.
It's real, real hard to go to Africa with an empty bank account. Now, you can believe God for it. We have missionaries all over the world. Our lovely former pastors, Tim and Barb, are in St. Lucia, not the port, the actual inland. Okay? They might get to go to the port, but it's inland. And they're believing God every day.
Amen.
That's cool. They ain't broke, though.
Amen.
People go like, one of my friend pastor, he goes, I was talking to him about Pastor Tim and Barb, and I was not trying to ask, hey, when you retiring? But I did ask him, and so I had to play it off a little bit. I'm like, yeah, you can do what like Pastor Tim and Barb are doing, you know, they're out there in St. Lucia. And he goes, yeah, suffering for Christ. You know, St. Lucia's on the Caribbean, you know, the that wonderful, wonderful place that people go on cruises. It sounds terrible, but that's just me. I don't do outside. It's just not me. It really isn't. So Heather's condemning that right now. She's cursing that and saying, no, he loves it outside in Jesus' name. I like, she's been declaring he loves camping in a tent. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. No. I'm not. I'll go camping. It's just not my favorite. I gave up. We did kids camp at Camp McNally. We had tents out in the yard, and I had already purposed in my heart not to sleep in a tent. But they had put an extra tent up because we thought Steve was staying, and Steve took off on us. Glory. And so I tried to sleep in the tent. I went and slept on the couch in the house. It was amazing. It was much more comfortable than the tent. That being said, it was shorter than I was and not as wide. But I made it through the night. It was beautiful. Faith, I love faith, the word of faith movement, we're about faith in God,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
How dare you believe God for something? Who do you think you are? Well, here's the thing. The Bible I read, right, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, oh gosh, what... But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I don't know about you. We have been homeless. We have been out of money. It is not a reward. It's really not. When you don't have two dimes to roll together, like rub together, when you can't afford to feed your family, that is not a reward.
That's right.
How do you say whatever? I don't see anywhere in it does say take up your cross.
Right.
It does.
Right.
It does say that. But so many times people want, we're supposed to suffer the way Christ suffered. Okay. But I see so many times in Scripture where it says that he wants to pour out a blessing for you.
Amen.
Where he rewards you if you diligently seek him. Where he gives you the desires of your heart. The key is that you actually have to seek after God. You can't sit by on your laurels just sitting there and not doing anything. You've got to seek God, his kingdom. Scripture talks about consider the sparrow, right?
Yeah.
Consider the fields. So people who say the consider the sparrow, right? He neither sows or reaps, so on and so forth. But God still meets his needs, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. Which means he gets a worm, right?
Amen.
Maybe a couple bugs.
Yeah.
He feeds them.
Yeah.
And they leave it right there. But then he talks about the fields and how beautifully adorned they are. They don't do anything. They just sit there.
Yeah.
And then they're burnt up. But God still takes care of them. So why is it that I or any of my friends or that believers, or why should the pastor's wife, not necessarily Pastor Chelsea, because her hair is always nice, but why can't she get her hair done? Why can't they wear nice suits? And that's not just for the pastor. That's for the believer. God wants you to have the best of everything. Because I know how this world is, right? If I go up to you and I'm in torn jeans, well, maybe torn is okay, right? I don't know. Whatever. If I look beat up, broke down, disgusted, right? And I walk up to you and tell you about how good God has been to me. What? Dude. Seriously. You need another God. Who are you serving?
That's good, right? That's good, sir.
People want to say, like, that having nice things is not godly.
Right.
But it totally is.
Yes.
God in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, which we have a better covenant on better promises, not a better promise, not a better promise. Most people will say, well, that means you get to go to heaven and live forever. No, it's not better promise. It's promises. So God has more for you than what he had for Abraham.
Yes.
And do y'all know how it worked out for Abraham? Yeah. Like everything was his.
Yeah.
Like if he rolled into a city, they gave him everything.
Amen.
Yeah. Like y'all, okay, for y'all in the back, everything,
yeah.
All of it,
yeah.
Yeah. Blessed beyond measure. Yeah. What is blessed beyond measure? You can't measure it.
Yeah.
Real simple. It's English. I'm blessed beyond measure. How much is that? All of it. And then some. Like, can you think of all the blessings? Yes. It's more than that because you can think about it. Beyond measure. Beyond measure. So what do we believe? We believe in healing. Isaiah 53:4. There are a lot of scriptures on this little part.
Oh, yeah.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Surely he has borne our griefs.
Yes.
Okay, check it out. If Jesus bore it, do you have to?
No.
Got it. Okay. He carried our sorrows. If Jesus carried your sorrow, do you have to?
No.
So we do it as a Christian exercise. We're like, hold on, Jesus, let me help you carry my troubles.
Yeah.
I heard he's like the strongest, like creator of the world, right? Probably doesn't need your help carrying your sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions is when we do bad stuff. Y'all understand that? He was wounded for that. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities, sickness, and stuff like that, right? And by his stripes are the chastisement of our peace, so we can have peace. His peace. Because our peace was thrown on him. And our peace isn't as good as God's peace. And by his stripes we are healed. If God took the stripes, do we have to?
No.
Now, we're not saying don't see a doctor. We're not saying sickness doesn't come. We're not saying symptoms don't happen.
Amen.
What we're saying is we have been given authority because Jesus took all that upon himself. We have authority to come against that. In the name of Jesus, believe God that it leaves our bodies and be freed from it. God has made me victorious in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. I have conquered everything because he conquered it for me. Like if you're a general, right? Army general. You storm a town, it's laid low, it's gone. It's been risen, or right? That's
raised.
It's been raised. That's broken, right? Doesn't make sense. English is fun. If it's already been raised, then you get there. Are you blowing more stuff up? Maybe for fun, but you're. You're not trying to fight anybody. You're like, there's a bug here I can stomp. I'm winning this war. No, why? God already did it. Why are we messing with it? So many of we fight the good fight of faith, not fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Have faith in what God promised. Have faith in what God said. Psalm 103, 2 and 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. It did say all. Forget not all his benefits, which includes prosperity, which includes healing, which includes peace, which includes joy. These are all the benefits of God. Psalm 147, 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Simple as that. Brokenhearted people. How many of y'all had depression? How many of y'all been sad? He heals it. He takes and mends your heart back together. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be brokenhearted. Jesus made way for that. Because he loves you. God is so good. Prosperity. There are so many scriptures on prosperity. It's ridiculous that anybody can talk against it. Psalm 68, 19. I'm going to rattle these off. Y'all write them down. Psalm 30, and this is just a couple. Psalm 37, 25 through 26. Psalm 84, 11. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. Proverbs 10, 22. John 10, 10. I'm going to go to John 10, 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Now you can take this a couple ways. I'm going to tell you how I take it. The thief comes not to except to steal, to kill, and destroy. So God never comes to steal, to kill, or to destroy. He doesn't come to steal my health to teach me a lesson. He doesn't come to steal my bank account so that I can be humble. He doesn't come to steal anything. He doesn't come to kill my kids. He doesn't come to kill my job. He doesn't come to kill my car.
That's right.
And he doesn't come to do any destruction.
Amen.
Too many people have taken on this idea that God wants to test you by hurting you.
Yeah.
That's not my God.
No.
The devil will come.
Yeah.
He came against Job.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Now the translation says that God gave him permission to destroy Job, but we know that's not really what happened.
Right. Amen.
God gave him boundaries.
Yes.
He didn't say, go ahead and do it. Satan already purposed in his heart to go and get him. Because
yeah.
He comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. And God said, you're going to do what you do. He's in the world. Don't do this. He gave him a limit.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't permission. He said, do your thing, but this is where you stop. I have come that they may have life, and they may have life more abundantly, overflowing to the full, abundantly. Now, we know that we are going to have eternal life,
yes.
Right? But this is not talking about eternal life. This is talking about life now, here. And that we can have life more abundantly here.
Yes.
What is the requirement? Faith.
Yes.
In Christ and knowing his promises. Of course, we need to diligently seek him.
Yes.
We need to delight ourselves in the Lord.
Yes.
It is hard if somebody came up and punched me in the face, I would not delight in them.
Amen.
I'd be mad.
Yeah. Amen.
I'd probably curse them. I might punch them back. You punch me in the face. I'm laying hands on you. I don't like getting punched in the face. Of all the places you can punch me, least favorite, right? It stings, you cry, it's weird. But, guys, it's hard to delight in somebody that's always taking from you.
Yeah.
Who's wanting to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
I've had a dad who was not afraid to whoop me.
Right.
After the whooping, I wasn't very happy with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Y'all agree?
Yeah.
I loved him still, but my delight was not in him.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's hard to delight in somebody who's constantly punching you and kicking you and keeping you down. My God doesn't do that.
That's right.
That's not his deal. He wants me to be blessed. He wants me to be happy. Because that's what a good father does. I know, like, so Gabe's up here, right? I'm never like, hey, I think I'm going to go and let all the air out of his tires, teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on up.
Have I ever done that? I don't think so. I've not slashed your tires, at least. I have taken their Xbox and stuff away when they were kids. But that was to teach them a lesson, but they needed it. Wait, parents of kids from this day and age, they understand that. So how many, Luke 18, verse 18. We all know this story. This is where you can't be rich and go to heaven. But it's said wrong. People take the wrong thing out of it. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that's where everybody wants to stop. And those who heard it said, who can be saved? But, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So we use these two different verses for two different purposes, but they're one thought.
That's right.
Yes.
It is impossible for a rich man without God to get into heaven.
Yes.
Absolutely. But if a rich guy has Jesus,
amen,
he's good to go.
Yeah.
Right?
We,
the guy got sad that Jesus asked him to sell everything. It didn't say that he didn't. He just got sorrowful.
Yeah.
It said sell his possessions now. Now, if I, well, I do. I own a home, right? I own some cars. I have things. Now, if God came to me, pray to God he doesn't. And he said, like for real, because like I said, I'm not built for outside. But if God said, no, you, wait, hold on. You might not want to volunteer for that yet.
Yes, sir.
God's like, hey, man, I need you to sell your house, your cars. You're not going to need a TV where you're going. You've got to go to Ghana. You Ghana crazy, right? But if he said that, I would be sad.
Sure.
That's sad face. But I sell it all, and I go. And I get to Ghana, and I don't know what's in Ghana. It's just the same first thing that came up to my head. And I get there. I have the things I needed. And took care of everything. Took care of some poor people. And now I'm living as a missionary in Ghana. Right? I gave everything up for Jesus. Who says I don't own the coolest, you know, teepee or whatever they live in Ghana? Maybe I get the most chickens.
Amen.
Yeah. Or the biggest cow.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Right. Amen.
A pastor friend of ours who comes here every once in a while, he was telling me he'd been in Africa for a little while. They ain't got a lot of money in Africa, right? Well, they might, but it's not the same as it is in the States.
Yeah.
I think they paid him in 4 chickens and 2 cows.
Right.
But they paid him in 4 chickens and 2 cows. The villages had the pastor had enough overflow to give 4 chickens and 2 cows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all, people be like, they'll trick you up. They'll be like, hey, well, what about all the believers out in Africa, man? All they have is 4 chickens and 2 cows. Yeah, what's the neighbor unbeliever have?
Yeah.
4 eggs and some milk.
Yeah.
By the way, he paid the guy with the 4 chickens and the 2 cows.
Amen.
Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because somebody doesn't have cash doesn't mean they're broke.
Right.
So don't let anybody trick you thinking that just because somebody doesn't have money like we look at money doesn't mean they're broke and that God's not blessing them beyond measure. Abraham didn't, well, I think Abraham ended up with money. He would have had to. But the reality is he was rich in livestock.
Yeah.
Right?
Lots
of livestock.
Yeah.
Lots. So much so that at one point, he had to split off from his cousin or something like that because the land couldn't contain, help them, couldn't sustain them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of livestock.
Right.
Lots
yes.
of livestock. Oh, lots and lots. Jesus said a rich man can enter heaven. You're going to get more. In Scripture, it says those that give up, you know, houses and wives and stuff. I had it written down, so I got to paraphrase again. But Jesus said, you know,
It's that verse.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Who shall not? Oh, there it is. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. It's 2 separate things.
Yeah. Now and then.
That's good. God is good. Don't let people get you twisted. We have a foundation in Christ. He is our way. We've built everything off of him.
Yes.
the Word of God. This is a Bible-believing church.
Yes.
We're a Bible-preaching church.
Yes.
We don't cut it to fit our own needs. We just read it plain.
Yep.
So when God says, by His stripes, you are healed, we believe what it says.
Yes.
Yes.
When He says that He will bless you abundantly, we believe it. And we don't cut nothing from it.
Yeah.
We don't put any, we're not hanging anything extra on it. Yeah. Just believe God. Have faith in God.
Yes.
Do what He asked. That's all He asked. Believe in Him. In closing, Matthew 6, verse 25. I went way too long. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Ha, here's the scriptures.
Amen.
Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Have faith in God.
Amen.
Believe Him for the big things. I always bring up Smith Wigglesworth when he talked about extravagant asking. If your faith is at a level and you can only believe God for a sandwich, then stay there.
Amen.
But don't stay there. I should have said start there. Believe God. And as you believe God for just these little things, little things. Little bit bigger thing. Little bit bigger thing. Next thing you know, it won't be anything for you to believe for a new car or a new house or get around like-minded people.
Yes.
Can I tell you guys something? If you're not working, you should be here on Wednesdays.
Amen.
That's diligently seeking the Father.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Getting all the word in you can. And Wednesdays is usually, if there's ever a breakout of confessions ever a breakout of testimonies, it's usually on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
And that just strengthens us.
Yes.
It's just meant to bless you guys.
Yeah.
And it blesses, I know it blesses the pastors.
Yes.
I had one story. I had a girl who at work, they had been trying for babies forever, her and her husband. It was like, hey, we just can't do it. And she, I talked to her a little bit, and I told her, I said, what was the first commandment God gave? To be fruitful and multiply, right? So God told you to be fruitful and multiply. He wants you to have babies. So take that. And tell and say, God, you said you wanted me to be fruitful and multiply. So I want a baby. Now she got like three or something like that. God's word works. Maybe they're like, don't work that good. But that's what happens. Abundance and overflow.
Amen.
Bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe y'all don't know Jesus. Maybe this is the first time you've heard these kind of things. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the one must in order to take advantage of the promises that God has for you. So if you've never accepted Jesus and you're saying, man, I got to know this guy, pop your hand up really quick. I'd like to pray with you if that's you. All right. So we all know Jesus. Glad for that. Father, we thank you now so much. We thank you for your promises, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you just bless us abundantly. As we leave this building, that we're never going to be the same. Lord God, that we're leaving with a new, stronger foundation in your Son, knowing full well that he is what everything is built upon. I praise you, Lord. I just thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, do you guys want to dismiss so Heather and I can go back there with some mugs or cups or whatever? I'm going to let any, mini, money, mo. Steve's got that mic. We'll let him do it.
Glory, glory, glory.
Excellent word. Outstanding. Well, Father God, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together and fellowship under you, Father, and to hear your word. Father, I decree that that word will stay with us. We will not lose it as we walk out the door, that it'll come up in our hearts all this week, Father, as we go about our business, and that these things that you've told us today that we'll remember and we'll meditate on them, we'll hang on to them. Father, I ask that you bring those across our path that do not know you so we can share your love with them. Father, I ask that you bless all those people here today as they go on about their day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.